And to listen to Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com.
It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up, deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz, 35, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants!
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Giants!
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go! He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants! 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. A happy Wednesday to you here in New York City and New Jersey. John Schmell, Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. I'll talk with you for the next few minutes before we're joined by Tom Rock from Newsday at 940. We'll go through all the Giants offseason stuff as we head towards free agency. We'll focus on that. We'll leave the draft stuff for later, but we'll focus a lot more on the free agency, and we'll touch on some basic things such as where the Giants are more likely to fill certain needs, the draft or free agency. But most of the focus will be on free agency, considering that's what's coming next. And the Giants right now, I'm sure, are hard at work. This is a period where teams can still negotiate with their own unrestricted free agents. They can sign guys to extensions, and I'm sure they're talking to a guy like John Beeson about that. I'm sure they're talking to a guy like Justin Tuck about that. And I'm sure they're even talking to some of the lower-run guys, the Terrell Thomases of the world, the Tremaine McBrides of the world, to try to see if they can get these guys back at good numbers. But here's the trick. There's got to be two to tango. The player also has to want to sign an extension before free agency. And that's where the issue comes in. Because the player is more likely to want to go all the way to the free agency period when he can start negotiating with other teams on March 8th. Free agency starts on March 11th. So you can use these other teams as leverage to try to get more money out of the team that you're with last year, and you want to get a little bit more money out of. So that's really the trick here, folks. And that's why I think it's going to be difficult to bring back a guy like Beeson especially, and to a lesser extent, it just in my opinion, to bring back a guy like Tuck. Because this is the last time both players are likely going to be able to cash in on a deal in free agency. And frankly, if I'm either guy, I'm going to free agency and I say, yeah, I want to try to make some cash here. I do. So odds are, I think both of those guys, and you could throw Linval Joseph into that mix, and of course Akeem Nicks as well, I think most of them, if not all, will reach free agency. Only because they can look at other contracts, get that money back, bring it to the Giants, and say, well, the Cleveland Browns, with their new GM, just gave me a call. And, you know, they offered me 4 years, $25 million, Giants. Want to go 5 to 30? What do you think? And that's why these players are unlikely to sign before the free agency period starts. Because they want to be able to use the potential of contracts from outside people as leverage to try to get more money out of the Giants. And, yes, ideally you like to say, you love New York, you love the Giants, you want to come back, work with us here, you know, you still make billions of dollars, isn't that enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's not how it works. It's a business. And these guys are trying to maximize their salary. And for a second, I want the fans to consider something. And I realize the denomination of money is a lot larger when it comes to these NFL players, and a lot of fans probably think that makes a difference. But if you're at your job and you have an opportunity, let's say you're making $50,000 a year, and you have an opportunity to get that salary up to potentially 75, you can increase your salary by 50%. But in order to do that, you know, it's like going to buy a car. You got to do a negotiation. You got to say, oh, well, you know what? The computer programming place down the block, you know, guys, they're offering me, you know, 75. You know, why would I want to stay here and work for 50? Now, you're happy to make 50 grand, obviously. It's a good amount of money. But the other places, you know, 75, eh? Well, you know what? Are you going to do that? Hell yeah, you're going to maximize the amount of money you want to make. And you can say to your own company, yeah, I want a raise. And, you know, they'll offer you a nice, you know, 10, 15% raise. It's all right, you're making 50, we'll give you 58. We're going to be even really generous. We'll give you a 20% raise. We'll give you 60. Well, there's no way you're going to get your own company to go to 75 unless you go to that other company down the street and get the other offer from them to try to get them to raise theirs. And that's, in short, is what's happening with these NFL players when free agency starts and the negotiating period starts on the 8th and the actual signing period starts on the 11th. And that's why, unfortunately, I know Giant fans aren't going to be thrilled about this, that a guy like Tuck, a guy like Beeson, you know, a guy like Akeem Nicks, a guy like Terrell Thomas, a guy like Jermaine McBride, these guys are all going to see what they can get elsewhere before they come back to the Giants. Now, a lot of these guys, I don't think are going to get big contracts. I think teams are going to be scared off by Terrell Thomas's knee, for example, and all the maintenance they've had to do on it over the last few years and all the surgeries. I think John Beeson, you know, he'll get some interest from outside the organization. His injuries, though, might be a little bit of a worry. You know, Justin Tuck on the older side, but I think he'll get interest elsewhere. And I think these players will eventually go back to the Giants. And I think most of them, honestly, would like to stay here. And I think a couple of them will figure out a way to stay here for a good number. I think Tuck and Beeson are in that group. Others, like the Linval Josephs and Akeem Nicks, I think will eventually find themselves elsewhere because I think other teams will be much more willing to offer them more money than the New York Football Giants. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll take your calls as normal throughout the program. But first, we want to welcome in Tom Rock from Newsday. Tom does an excellent job covering the Giants. I think I've planned to have Tom on about three times in the past month. Something has always come up, and now we finally got him. Tom, good morning. How's everything going, buddy?
I was starting to feel a little jilted, but I'm glad to finally be here, John. Thanks.
Well, Tom, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. And how I opened up the show here was talking about some of the Giants' current free agents. Obviously, the Giants can negotiate with their own unrestricted free agents now. Do you envision anybody? And I'm talking about the major guys, the Tucks, the Josephs, the Nixes, the Beesons. Do you see any of these guys re-signing with the Giants before the free agent period begins?
Probably the only guy I might think would do that would be Beeson, because he has expressed pretty plainly that he wants to be back and he wants to be here, and I'm sure that the Giants saw what he brought to their defense, and they don't want to let him let other teams get a chance to flirt with him and bring him in. You know, he's going to be healthy next year, conceivably. He wasn't on the injury report much during 2013, but he was still overcoming those injuries. So if he could come be healthy and really get his teeth into the defensive playbook and understand the philosophies and the schemes and the way things are going, I think that he's going to be he's probably the guy that they're targeting before he hits the market. Now you look at the second tier of guys, and I'm thinking about guys who are coming off of injuries, maybe Andre Brown, Stevie Brown, probably they don't let him get close to testing the market, but the other guys, Nick Tuck, Linval Joseph, I think you mentioned, even Terrell Thomas. You know, they might. The Giants probably put a value on them, and if the players believe that they've exceeded that value, they'll go elsewhere.
You know, Tom, what type of contract do you think Beeson's going to get? How much are teams, you think, including the Giants, still a little bit worried about his injury history with his Achilles, with his knee, and how do they balance that with the type of obvious production and positive impact he had on the Giants' defense when he got here in Week 6 last year?
Yeah, it's hard to measure that because you just eyeball his impact on this team last year, and it was obvious what he brought. But then now, how do you put a financial number on that and say, well, you know, he's not going to get any younger, obviously, none of us are. And you know, how long is he going to be able to be productive like that? So I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years. You know, probably something in the neighborhood of the kind of a contract that maybe like Colin Jenkins got last year. a good, decent contract that'll carry him through for the next couple of years. And at the end of it, maybe if he's still productive, he'll get another shot at a big payday.
Interesting. Yeah, I wonder if another team out there would be willing to give him an LRB type of contract that he got last year, somewhere in the 4 to 5 year, $20 million range, considering what an impact he had on the Giants. But, you know, he's still only in his high 20s. You figure he has some productive years left. I'm just wondering, considering how the NFL is now, there aren't a ton of 4-3 middle linebackers, I feel like, that are really big impact players that are out there and become free agents. I just wonder how much he wants to see what's out there for him, considering his injury history, and whether or not this could be his last big payday, too.
Right, right. Well, you just consider that, too. But I think that you look at where he came from in Carolina and where he saw some pretty good highs but a lot of lows. And I think he's looking for a place where he can win. And he seemed to be really comfortable with the Giants. And the Giants are notoriously not overspenders for positions, especially at linebacker. Probably the last guy that they made pretty wealthy at that position was Michael Foley.
Right.
I don't think that they're going to overextend themselves that way. But you know, he's definitely a priority, and if they feel like they can't lose him, then maybe they'll have to up their offer. You know, they'll have to balance that. But that's not really the way the Giants do things, though, in terms of looking at how other people measure players in terms of their value. The Giants just do it strictly in house. We saw that with Kevin Boss. We saw that with Steve Smith. Giants put a value on those players, and when if other teams wanted to pay more, they said, "Fine, go ahead. We'll find somebody else to do this job."
We're joined by Tom Rock from Newsday. Tom, your phone line's a little bit shaky. I'm gonna have Dan here pick you up and redial you, and we'll get you back up on the line in just a second. 201-939-4513. Just want to make sure we get a good line of connection for Tommy as we can, so we get him back on, so everybody can make sure we can hear him right here on Giants.com. And it's interesting. Tom doesn't think Beeson's going to get valued quite as highly as I do. And for the Giants' sake, I hope Tom is right. You know, is he going to get a contract in that Colin Jenkins range from $10 to $15 million over 3 years? Or will a team be willing to extend him to the 4 for 20 or 5 for 25 range? I think that'll be an interesting thing to take a look at. Now we're rejoined by Tom Rock from Newsday. And Tom, I want to jump on to Justin Tuck here. And he's expressed to the media a lot in the last few weeks that he definitely wants to test free agency. How much of that do you think is honest? How much is that a negotiating ploy to try to get the Giants to offer him a bigger initial contract? How much does Justin really want to be back here, or does he really want to test what's out there for him?
Well, this is the first time in his life he'll get the chance to do that, and that's tempting to a lot of players. You know, we saw last year with Will Beattie, he was very content to sign his deal before free agency and not have to worry about going out on the market and trying to find a new home and a new place. Justin Tuck knows that part of his allure and part of his fame as an NFL player is based on his production on the field, but a good part of it is based on his playing in New York, and a good part of it is based on him playing on big stages like the Super Bowl, Monday Night Football games, things like that, and that all of his endorsement deals and all of his off-the-field work that he does with his Rush for Literacy Foundation and things that are important to him and his family, too, these things probably wouldn't translate as readily in another market, in a Minneapolis, in a San Diego, in a you know, wherever, Houston, wherever he would wind up going. So I think that plays a large role in it. Now, you have to remember, too, with these quotes that we're hearing from Tuck, a lot of them are prefaced with the statement that hopefully the Giants and I come together in agreement and I retire a Giant. He said that pretty much for the last year that he wants to retire as a Giant. But he's also a realist and he understands that there's a business decision to be made here, and he's going to go out and probably see what other teams are willing to pay for him. You remember last year there was a lot of defensive ends who had some pretty big seasons and were coming off of some pretty big numbers, who had to wait a long time to get some contracts. I'm thinking about OCU Manure.
Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett, sure. And help me out, I can't remember his
Cliff
name.
Cliff Averill, another guy.
The guy with the Falcons who used to be with the Jets.
Oh, John Abraham.
John Abraham, yes. They all had to wait. They all had to wait for the market to settle down. And Averill and Bennett, as you said, with the world champions, Seahawks had to take pretty flimsy deals, really. I mean,
yeah.
Averill was a franchise player the year before and took basically a 70% pay cut to sign as a free agent in 2013. So you got to hope that the market is there when your time comes up to be a free agent. Not sure that it's going to be for Justin Tuck, but he seems like he'd be content to retire a Giant.
And there are a couple of big names too: Jared Allen, a free agent; Anthony Spencer, a free agent coming off that knee surgery. Do you think Tuck is a 2 or 3 year deal in the end, Tom?
I think he'll probably get a 3 year deal. I don't know if he'll play all 3 years of it,
right.
but he'll probably get a 3 year deal that a team can try and squeeze 2 years out of him and then make a decision. Probably around this time in 2016, I guess.
Yeah. It is amazing. Now, how about Linval Joseph? You can argue that he, out of all the Giant players, might be the best of all of them that's been a free agent, considering how he's played and how young he still is and how he probably still has his best years ahead of him. But at the same time, the Giants drafted Jonathan Hankins in the second round last year. They have Mike Patterson, who they can bring back. Colin Jenkins was excellent last year. They have Marcus Kuhn, another young defensive tackle on the roster. How important is it to the Giants, and how much can they invest, considering all their other needs, in Linval Joseph if they want to bring him back?
I think that's the key right there, is the balance of where they want to go with this thing. So you can't spend all this money to have John Beeson and Justin Tuck, and then also have enough money left over to pay Linval Joseph. You know, so something's got to give. They love Hankins, obviously. They drafted him highly last year. Second-round pick, you always like to see those second-round picks, especially the second year, really step up and prove that they, prove their worth in the draft.
They should start.
You should be, by second year, you should be starting if you're a second-round pick.
No doubt.
And or at least contributing steadily. You know, you look at a guy like Reuben Randle.
Exactly.
For example. So you have that, and then you have Marcus Kuhn on the other side, and as you said, Colin Jenkins is they were really happy with his production. Last year this time they wanted to fix their run defense up the middle. They did. They spent a lot of money to do it, and Linval Joseph was a big part of the reason why they were able to do that. Now that the situation is fixed, I'm not so sure that it's quite the priority that it was a year ago, and probably not as many dollars are going to go into that position as Linval would like to see.
And I'm sure the dollars the Giants will put the most money into in terms of position will be the offensive line, and we're joined by Tom Rock from Newsday. And Tom, we'll get to that in just 1 second. I want to touch on the final defensive position first, and that's corner. Right now, they basically have Prince and Jaron Hosley, Charles James, and that's pretty much it. How do you see the Giants addressing their second cornerback spot? I don't believe they think Terrell Thomas can, play that many plays for him to be a full-time starter on the outside. They probably still see him as more of a part-time slot guy. Do you see them looking in free agency? Do you see them looking in the draft? How do you see them addressing that second cornerback spot?
Yeah, it's hard to draft a cornerback because if you want him to make an immediate impact, you really got to get one of the top five or six guys.
No question.
That's a pretty early draft pick, and the Giants have other priorities there, so they can draft a project cornerback in the fifth or sixth round, and listen, we're talking about guys who turned out to be pretty good, like Richard Sherman was drafted in that area too. But every once in a while you find one of those, but those guys need to develop a little bit. So I think they're going to have to look for free agency. You're going to have to bring in a veteran, somebody to play opposite of Prince, who I'm sure the Giants are expecting really big things from this
year.
As for Terrell Thomas, I think he gets squeezed out because, especially if the Giants re-sign Stevie Brown, and you have Antrell back there, and then you have Will Hill. I think we're going to see a lot of three safety look, and those guys can work in the slot as well. And you sort of don't need the traditional nickel cornerback that Terrell Thomas played, because really, if you think about it, if Will Hill had played all year last year and Stevie Brown hadn't been hurt, was there really a spot for Terrell Thomas on the team last year? I'm not so sure. You know, it was certainly a heartwarming story. Great storyline for him to overcome his ACL injuries, and he played really well, and the Giants were very happy, I'm sure, to get what they got out of him. But you know, I think had those other two guys been available and healthy, you know, I'm not so sure that he makes the team really coming out of the training camp.
Yeah, and then throw on top of that, you got Cooper Taylor, a young safety. I know the Giants don't mm-hmm. like a lot, and they're developing him. And I'm sure they would still like Jaron Hosley to give them something, and he profiles more as a slot corner with his size than playing outside as well. I think those are really good points. Tom, how about the offensive line? You mentioned last year run defense was their big priority. That's where they spent. That's where they got better. Based on Tom Coughlin, Jerry Reese, and John Mara's postseason press conferences, that focus this year is going to be the offensive line. Now, there's a lot of ways they can attack this. How do you foresee it? Will they draft a tackle, move Pugh inside, or sign a tackle, move Pugh inside? Does Beedy stay on the left side? Do they think about moving him to the right side? Do they leave the tackles in place and then just build the inside of the line? Is Kevin Booth back? How do you see the Giants attacking their big offensive line deficiency?
The one thing that they have at their advantage, and this comes in terms of bargaining with free agents and in terms of drafting, is Pugh's versatility. When they drafted Pugh last year, they said he could play anywhere on the line. He could probably even play center, they said.
Yep.
So that might actually come to fruition. Who knows? But he can move to either side and either position really. Let's eliminate center right now, but let's call him. They say that he can go to guard or he could play tackle. So that gives them a lot of flexibility to look for the best players on the best offensive linemen available, right? Bowlers, we'll call them, B-O-L-A-S. and then plug them in. You know, just get five maulers, five good guys who could protect Eli, and then figure out where they play afterwards. I think that's going to be the Giants' philosophy. You know, Will Beatty, he can, you know, if they wind up drafting one of the top left tackles in the first round, maybe you move Will Beatty over to the right side, and then you move Pugh into the guard. You know, if they wind up signing a free agent guard, you know, who knows? Maybe they flip-flop Pugh to the left side and put somebody on the right tackle. Maybe they like Brewer there. Who knows? You know, Brewer was supposed to be the heir apparent to Kareem McKenzie. Obviously, that never worked out. But you know, he's still going to be on the team in training camp. He's going to have one more chance to prove himself there. So there's a lot of moving parts. You know, who even knows if Chris Snee is really going to come back? You know, obviously, at his age, his retirement is always an option, and his salary cap number is pretty extreme, and the Giants may have to make a decision there. So it's going to be difficult to piece things together. They're going to have to come up with, like I said, get the five best offensive linemen they can get. Don't worry about positions, and then put them on the field and figure out how they fit together the best way.
Well, I think Giant fans like the sound of that. How about David Boss? If the Giants, you know, make him a post-June 1st cut, they save a little bit more money on the cap, but then they lose some of their cap space next year. Obviously, he has a huge cap number, Tom. How do you see them handling David Boss's situation?
Well, he's coming off a rough season. It's never good when you have more surgeries than games played.
That's true.
That's what happened to him last year. But, you know, they did win a Super Bowl with him as a center, so... you know, I think they may be leaning towards sort of cutting their losses with him, and saying, you know, we got a good run out of him. Thanks, David. Good luck, and move on. And there's some pretty intriguing free agents on the market. I'm thinking about Alex Mack
yep.
from Cleveland at center, who is probably one of the best offensive linemen who's going to be a free agent. Who knows what's going on with the Browns right now with their front office? Whether that shakeup means that he's more likely to return to Cleveland, or that he's more likely out the door. So that we'll have to see how that plays out. But I definitely think that center is a position that will be addressed. It's hard to bring in a rookie, start him at center. So you'd like to have a little bit more of a veteran presence. I think the Giants have done that in the past. They brought Sean O'Hara in as a free agent. He became a starter. They brought David Boss in as a free agent. He became a starter. I think that's the way they'll go this year. And somebody who's not on the roster right now, somebody who's been in the league for a couple of years, is going to be their starting center. when the 2014 season starts.
Yeah, Tom, I'm on the same page with you. Let's work inside out then. We've done offensive line. Let's move to the tight end position. It seems like the Giants have been in an endless search here for a long-term solution at tight end. They really haven't had one since Jeremy Shockey left. And much like you mentioned with offensive linemen, unless you pick them extremely high, it's hard to expect the tight end to coming out of college and be an impact player in their first season. So do you see them attacking the tight end position in the draft? Do you see them going after a veteran free agent? Or will we finally see the emergence of the JPP of tight ends, Adrian Robinson?
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath on that one.
Neither am I.
That last option. hey, maybe, stranger things have happened. We saw Jarrell Jernigan become a star in the last couple of weeks of the season, and I didn't think that would ever occur. So, maybe if Adrian Robinson can get on the field, he can show what the Giants saw in him when they drafted him, because nobody else has seen it yet. I think they're going to go after a free agent, and I know Antrell Roll. We spoke to him last week, and he was talking about trying to lure Jermichael Finley to come here. And obviously, he's coming off of a bad spinal surgery, and he's sort of damaged goods. The guy I really like from Green Bay actually is a Long Island guy, Andrew Quarles from Uniondale. Went to Penn State, knows McAdoo's system, so he'll be able to fit in there. He's a pretty good blocker. He's a sure-handed catcher. He's not a dynamic playmaker, but the Giants don't really need that at that position. They need consistency. They need good blocking, and they need a guy who's gonna catch the ball when it's thrown to him. You look at a guy like Jake Ballard. That was probably the perfect tight end for the Giants system, because he was sneaky fast. Teams overlooked him often when they were scheming their defenses, so that allowed him to get open. But he was also a really good blocker, and it helped the running game a lot, and it helped the pass protection too. So I think they're definitely going to try and look at the free agent market.
No question, Tom. Based on who's available, I'm completely on the same page. That's the type of player they'll have to bring in. But if they don't get a playmaker at tight end, they're going to have to try to find a playmaker to play opposite Victor Cruz, to give Eli Manning another weapon that can beat man-on-man coverage. I got to imagine we're probably on the same page here that Knicks won't be back. Will the Giants trust Reuben Randle to be that second wide receiver, or are we looking at a new face coming in here to take over that spot, or at least compete with Randle and Jernigan for that number two wide receiver position?
I was a little surprised at the end of the season when some of the Giants coaches and front office people expressed some disappointment in Reuben Randle's season. He put up some decent numbers, I thought, and did some nice things for his second year. But obviously he didn't reach the level that they thought he was going to be at. I remember Jerry Reese saying that he definitely saw Reuben Randle as a potential number one receiver on a team.
Yeah.
So now may be his chance. I don't think that they're going to spend a lot of money on that position. They have the two good guys, Cruz and Randle, the two high profile guys, I should say. And then you could fill in with roles like they have in the past, guys like Dominic Hixon, guys like other receivers who have come and gone and sort of floated through the system and been somewhat productive, but then moved on and done some things and aren't, they're not destined for the Ring of Honor, but they contribute to the offense in some ways. You look at Jernigan.
Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you look at Jernigan, he's kind of stuck behind Cruz because he's not an outside guy. He's more of a slot receiver. So do you sacrifice Cruz in the slot to get Jernigan on the field? I don't think so. So you're going to need somebody else on the outside. And obviously, they thought Lewis Murphy Jr. was going to be that this year. That never quite panned out. So I think they'll probably bring in some low-priced veteran free agents. Kind of a guy they sign 3 weeks after free agency starts that gets a paragraph in the newspaper brief section that doesn't really make a splash. That they think might be able to compete as a starting wide receiver for them on the outside, especially when they go three wide.
What do you think about a guy like Ted Ginn Jr., who has the speed to get deep on the outside, can do what they thought Lewis Murphy Jr. could do last year, but at the same time, actually gives the team a guy on punts and kicks that can not only catch the ball, which Tom Coughlin requires, but also actually make some plays in the return game.
Yeah, well, that's the dual threat that they probably would be willing to spend for. They're not gonna plunk down a lot of money just for a wide receiver. He's got to be able to do other things. And Ginn's actually a pretty good example of a guy who would be able to come in and ignite the special teams and help out in that area too. So that's actually a pretty good example, John.
Oh, I appreciate that. Tommy, we're on the same page. I think running back, and let's hit, you know, the last major offensive position here before we say goodbye. I think it's very interesting.
Talk about quarterback?
Don't worry, we'll get there, Tom. There's actually one thing I want to ask about Eli too. But
And
we are joined by Tom Rock from Newsday. And Tom, I think the running back's interesting because you have a guy you spent the first round pick on in David Wilson, but you really, you know, can't depend on coming off of spinal neck fusion surgery, which has ended many careers, you know, in the National Football League. At the same time, you got like Andre Brown, who seemed to slow down at the end of last year. He's never been able to stay healthy. He had some fumbleitis the last four games last year. A guy like Payne Hillis, who was a free agent for a lot of weeks last year, couldn't find the team. Do you spend another high draft pick on a running back? Do you go after a crop in free agency that has some big names, but maybe guys on the wrong side of their primes? The Chris Johnson, the Maurice Jones-Drew. Do you go after a guy like Ben Tate? Rashad Jennings, I think, from Oakland could be an option. I mean, it seems like the Giants can go one of a million different ways at running back here.
Yeah, there are a lot of ways to go, and one of the possibilities is that David Wilson comes back and is great.
Yep.
That's on the table too. So really, it all depends. What you're doing right now is you're buying insurance that David Wilson not being able to perform to the first round level that the Giants want him to be at as he enters his third season now, which is, you know, time to get going, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think that they make a long term commitment to somebody else. They gotta let the situation play out. So you bring in a guy like Ben Tate, just to have bodies here, and you know, if you want to bring back Andre Brown, that's fine. But Andre Brown is a great number two running back. He is not a number one running back. He's not the guy that's gonna be the carry the load for the team. You know, he could do it maybe once or twice a year, but he's not going to be the guy who can grind out through the season to do that for you. So you're gonna have to keep an eye on Wilson and just figure out what he's capable of doing. Because honestly, even when he was completely healthy, I think the jury was still out on what he was going to be as an NFL player. And now you throw in this next situation. And the whole thing is muddled,
yeah.
And it's sort of teetering right now between a bust pick and who knows what he can be. His potential is through the roof. You look at him and you look at a guy like the running back in Cincinnati, Giovanni
Bernard,
and you say, well, these guys seem to have similar skill sets.
Very much.
You know, the quickness, the shiftiness, the speed. Why does it translate for one guy and not the other? And I don't know. Maybe Ben McAdoo will have the secret formula for unlocking David Wilson's potential. Maybe he'll come in and he'll be because he's a young guy and he doesn't know Wilson's past history as well. Obviously, he knows it, but he's not as intimate with it. He'll start with a clean slate, and he'll be able to go in and be the pass protector and be the every down back that he wants to be. It's really hard to say right now. But the whole position hinges on David Wilson's health, and that's not something that the Giants are going to know about until they get to training camp and they start hitting other teams in preseason games. So right now you're just playing defense and you're playing insurance broker and trying to figure out where the pitfalls might happen. And that's a hard place to be for the Giants right now.
Well, Tom, you mentioned Ben McAdoo, and I'll go there next. What kind of offense do you think is Eli Manning going to be running this upcoming season? I know right now all the coaches are kind of huddling, trying to put this thing together and figure out exactly what it's going to be. Do you have an inkling of how much this offense is really going to change, how much of Tom Coughlin and Kevin Gilbride's old system is going to be used, and how much of the West Coast offense that Ben McAdoo has really coached within over the course of his professional coaching career is going to now become the core of this Giants offensive attack in 2014?
Right. Well, you know, when Ben McAdoo was hired, he said that he was going to bring an aggressive and fast-paced offense to the Giants, and so that's obviously that's what every coach says. No coach gets hired and says we're going to slow things down. We're going to be real reactionary to the defense. We're going to try not to score a lot of points. So you know, all of those words mean very little.
Correct.
What matters is when they get on the field, what's Ben McAdoo's thumbprint going to be on this team? And how much of it is going to truly be his, and how much of it is going to be Tom Coughlin,
right,
whose overarching offensive philosophy about balance, about taking your shots down the field, about all of those things are going to be incorporated in what Ben McAdoo does. I think it's going to be an interesting hybrid. I don't think it's going to be a true West Coast offense. I think what they're going to try and do is come up with a sort of a mutation of both, really, and pair them together and see how they work. And it could be interesting. I mean, it could be a conflagration. Who knows? You know, it could blow up in their faces. And if that's the case, then you know, probably Tom ends his career on that note, and McAdoo, you know, goes back to being a position coach maybe someplace. But if it works, then they're both geniuses, and they both thrive off of their ability to get the 26th ranked offense in 2013, chugging along at a pace that we all thought it should have been in 2014.
We're joined by Tom Rock of Newsday, and Tom, final question. We spent the whole show on this on Monday talking about it. Do the Giants decide to extend Eli Manning this offseason to free up more cap space, or do they take a little bit of caution here with Eli coming off what you could probably consider his worst year as a pro besides his rookie year and decide to wait a season and then extend him and maybe free up some cap space next offseason? How do the Giants approach Eli Manning's contract potential extension coming up here next couple of years?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on what they want to do, obviously, with free agency, and if they want to go with the draft or if they want to spend on free agents, and I'm talking about the offensive line in particular. And so, if they want to get younger at the offensive line and bring in a bunch of first and second round picks this year, then maybe they wait and hold off on Eli Manning's extension. If they want to bring in a guy like Mac, if they want to bring in another high priced guard or tackle, then you have to create the room somewhere. And so then you have to say, okay, Eli, it's, you know, we got to push some of this money down the hill a little bit into the future and do that. You know, I don't think the decision is going to be made based on how long they think Eli Manning is going to be playing for them. The decision will be made based on how much money they want to spend this year, how much money they think they might have to spend next year. That's going to be the prevailing factor. It's not going to be a vote of confidence or a vote of non-confidence for Eli Manning. In other words, it's going to be based purely on a financial situation, because with these contracts and these extensions, all you're doing is pushing the money further and further into the future. You still got to pay it. Still got to appear on a ledger somewhere. So it's not a matter of saying your commitment to Eli Manning. It's just a matter of business.
So you don't think there is any inkling of doubt over Eli Manning being the long-term quarterback of the future for this franchise based off his poor season last year within this front office?
Well, I mean, the doubt about the long-termness of Eli Manning's stay here is based on his age. You know,
got it.
Are you talking about five or six more years? Is that long term, or are you talking about 8 years? You know, that's a big difference there, those 3 years. So, but I think that in terms of their immediate future, the next 2 to 3 years, I think they are wholly committed to Eli Manning. I don't believe that they think that they'll be able to either find or groom another quarterback who can who will be better suited to run the offense than Eli Manning will in that time frame.
Tom, excellent work. Thanks for the time, and we'll keep tracking in Newsday here as the Giants start to make some off-season moves going forward. We haven't had some Giant news in a while. I want something to change here, get something new to talk about.
Okay, well, I'll be here if you need me, and it took a long time to get on the show, and then it took a second phone call to get a clear phone line. So, but it all worked out in the end, and so hopefully we'll get something going here. I'll be at the combine next week.
So will I, actually, Tom. I'll see you out there this year.
Excellent, good. We'll have to go to St. Elmo's.
Oh, that sounds like a plan. As long as Newsday's buying, I'm in.
Oh, I was gonna say that about the Giants. Oh well.
Tom, appreciate the time, bud.
We'll just go to Steak and Shake then.
Sounds like a plan, but I'll see you out there.
All right, John.
All right, Tom. That's Tom Rock from Newsday. By far, the funniest guy in the Giants beat. Tom's the best. Love Tom. Good guy. Does an excellent job covering the Giants. Does great work. And I think we're on the same page on a lot of stuff, quite frankly, when it comes to the team. Everybody's been holding for a while at 201-939-4513. We thank you for your patience. Let's get right to our phone calls. A lot of interesting stuff from Tom Rock at a Newsday. And go to Keisha in Atlanta. Keisha, what's going on, pal?
Hey, I'm so excited to be on with you. I love the Giants. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. I live in a house that is truly, truly divided. My husband is a Redskins fan, unfortunately. Yes. My oldest son is a Falcons fan, and my baby son is a Panthers fan. But it's all right. Giants are the best team in the house. You hear this nonsense that I have to live with?
Now, Keisha, from what I understand, everyone in Atlanta right now is basically trapped in their houses because of the snow and ice. Is your whole family just huddled there, afraid to go outside because of the weather?
That is correct. I am actually snowed in the house with my son, my husband, and our dog, Charles Barkley.
Very, very good, Keisha. That sounds like it's going to be a fun day.
Yes, it is. That's all right. I'll put on my Giants coat and let them see what a true champion is around here.
That's fantastic, Keisha. Is there anything in regards to the Giants you want to talk about this morning?
That's actually it. I was just surprised to get through. I saw the number this morning on Facebook and said, why not take a chance?
That's great, Keisha. Well, enjoy the day with the family. You don't get a weekday in February off where everybody gets to have a good time together. Have fun, and just don't watch too many Giant Panthers or Falcons games. I don't want you guys fighting all day, all right?
Exactly.
All right, Keisha, have a good one.
You have a good day also. Bye-bye.
And obviously be safe down there. You know, last week, I guess it was, when Atlanta had those storms, you had people trapped in their cars on the side of the highway for 8-9 hours at a time. So be careful down there, folks. And that's coming up here next, because what haven't we had enough of this winter? We haven't had enough snow. You know, I walk around, park my car on 3-inch thick ice in the city every day. What do I think? I need more of this. More snow. My car isn't quite covered enough in salt. I need more. My black car looks white. More salt. That's what we want. More snow, more ice, more skin, more fish talon, more spinning out on the West Side Highway. Want more of that. 201-939-4513. Tim's in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's going on, pal?
Nothing. I got a question for the Giants. Giants signed Maurice Jones-Drew and re-signed Andre Brown.
Well, you know what, Tim, and I think what Tom and I talked about, the running back position, is pretty interesting. I could see Andre Brown coming back, but like Tom said, as a number two. To me, Andre Brown's not a number one running back because of his health concerns, and I think they will bring in a veteran, and we've talked about this all offseason. You know, Ben Tate's a guy people have talked about. Remember, he's only run in a zone scheme before, so I wonder about him, and I also wonder about his health. He's never been a full-time running back, and I think he might cost a little bit. I like Rashad Jennings. Maybe if Mark Ingram gets cut, you could look at him. I think Chris Johnson will probably get too much money on the open market. Like Tom said, I think you're hedging David Wilson. So you want to pick somebody in free agency that can be a number one running back, but no one that you're going to have to invest a big 4 or 5 year contract in, just to hope David Wilson can get back and be healthy. So I think there's a very good balancing there act, Tim, that the Giants have to look at. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening?
What's going on, man? You're just like a light bulb just lit up in my head when you said Chris Johnson. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Oh, my gosh. If we had Chris Johnson in blue?
Well, first of all, Chris Johnson.
Y'all say Jordan face.
Chris Johnson is still property of the Titans, but if they can't figure out a contract renegotiation, there's a decent chance he could get let go this year. But, Shakes, let me put it this way. I've heard Chris Johnson talk. I remember Chris Johnson's last contract negotiation. Chris Johnson's going to want to get paid, if I know Chris Johnson. And I'm not sure the Giants can afford that type of contract. I think they can afford a Rashad Jennings type of contract. I don't think they can afford a Chris Johnson type of contract.
Yeah, and also, you know, he's more likely down on, you know, downhill on his career.
Exactly.
So to pay him that much money, but just his speed would just make me hesitate. Oh, you know I love speed.
Yeah, he is a playmaker, but I think in a lot of ways he's also a bit of a copy of the skill set David Wilson can give you too. But
yeah.
Shakes, I hear you.
Very much. Yeah. Oh, okay. I wanted to jump in. People on my Twitter, they keep on giving me scenarios. I don't think Nitch is coming back, and what about this scenario? What about this scenario? I told them, look, man, I won't be happy. I got two scenarios that I will possibly satisfy with if Nick does go. And that is, by some miracle, you get either Andre Johnson or Larry Fitzgerald via trade. By some miracle, maybe that. Or the combination of, like, a dynamic wide receiver in the draft, maybe in the first three rounds. More than likely, I was naming out Marquise Lee and either Mario Manningham or McCluster.
Well, Shakes, I'll tell you this, and I know you're not going to like my answer. I don't think Nix is back, and I think his replacement, more so than anybody else, is probably going to be Ruben Randall or another, you know, mid-price veteran like a Ted Ginn Jr. or maybe a draft pick in the third round. I don't think, since the Giants had such high hopes for Randall, they're going to spend the first-round pick or go out there and spend big-time money on a free agent wide receiver. I think they have too many needs elsewhere. I don't think they're going to spend big on that position. I'm on the same page with Tom Rock in that regard.
I don't like that, though.
I know you
don't. I don't like that because I'm not trusting Ruben Randall in that spot right now. I mean,
you only have so many draft picks and so much money, though, Shakes. If you want to spend a lot on a wide receiver or use a top pick, then you're either sacrificing corner, you're sacrificing offensive line, and I'm not sure you can sacrifice those two spots in favor of wide receiver when you have a guy like Randall and Jernigan in-house.
Yeah. See, that's why we in trouble.
Yeah, well,
we're bringing back Nick, we in trouble.
Well, whether you bring back Knicks or not, that's still a lot of money you're investing in that position. And look, the Giants are going to have to make tough decisions, Shakes. They're not going to be able to fill every single need with a top player as much as they would like. They're going to have to take a chance somewhere. They're going to have to roll the dice a little bit. And I think they're more willing to roll a dice on a position like wide receiver, A, because they already have Cruz in-house and he's really good, and they already have Randall and Jernigan, a second and third round pick, in-house. So I think they're more willing to roll the dice on that position than a spot like cornerback, where all you have in-house is a guy like Hosley, or a spot like linebacker, where all you have in-house is a Jaquan Williams, all you have in-house is a guy like Paysinger. I think they have some other options in wide receiver, and that's why I think that's closer to the middle or bottom of the list in terms of priorities.
Okay, you're making me depressed over here. Let me switch it. Let me switch it to defensive tackle because people was also saying, you know, can't let Joseph go. And people misconstrued me when I said that, okay, he's expendable, when I was trying to describe, you know, the money, where it could come from to sign Knicks back that one time.
and people was telling me, like, no, Joseph is not expendable. I'm not saying Joseph is, okay, let's just let him go. No, I'm just saying, like, we need Nick. So if we just got to let him go to keep Nick, then that's so be it, because we got bodies there that I feel comfortable with. Like, I'm very comfortable with Patterson. I'm very comfortable with Jenkins and Hankins. And Coon shows promise. So I'm not saying Joseph is expendable, and I would love to see him back in blue. But for $6 million, I don't know. I don't want to pay $6 million to a defensive tackle when we got three of them that can do what or somewhat what he can do.
Right.
And the last thing I wanted to say is I didn't even listen to last night's show, but I was looking on Twitter. And I mean, not last night's, but yesterday morning's show. And I was looking on Twitter, and everybody was talking about Ann from D.C. And so she must have said something crazy yesterday, and I didn't even hear it.
Ann did something rather insensitive, and I'll use the word, I think, somewhat ignorant about Michael Sam. So I'll leave it at that. I think you can figure out exactly the type of thing that came out of her mouth.
Yeah. I'm going to say this about Michael Sam, because he's getting a lot of exposure from this whole thing. And my thing is, if the guy can play, he can play. I don't care what his sexual preference is. We're not in his bedroom watching him in his bedroom. We're watching him play on the field. That's all I care about. So I don't see what's the big deal. I mean, I know it's news. You know what I mean? It's the first guy that ever is coming into the league and admitting that he's gay. Okay, yes, right. But I mean, Jesus, y'all act like this more news than the earthquakes in Tokyo. Like, I mean, that got more coverage than the earthquakes in Tokyo.
All right, Shakes.
But, I mean,
Shakes, I appreciate
Jesus
Shakes.
Christ.
Well said. I appreciate the call, buddy.
All right, man.
Have
Thanks,
a good
man.
One, Shakes.
Have a good morning.
Thanks, dude.
All right.
Yeah. And that was the earthquakes that caused a tsunami back a couple years ago. On ESPN, maybe. I think CNN probably gave a little bit more to the tsunami and stuff like that. But I get the point, and I agree with Shakes. You care about what he does on the field and what he does in his private life. Frankly, none of our business. And whatever. Cool. It's all good. If you can play, you can play. On that, Shakes could not agree more. I am blessed that I get to talk to Big Ed in Maryland 2 days in a row. What's going on, Big Ed?
What's up? What's up? Hey, you know, this thing is really getting ready to be a real thing here with this situation. So I didn't address it yesterday, so I'm going to address it right now, Big John. Once and for all, Big Ed style. First of all, it's not accepted in the league. I'm sorry. I have to be honest and straight up. Football was made for men. Bringing somebody in with that kind of, you know, it really takes away from the team locker room. It's guys, because you have to be men in it. You have to play. You have to be men to play football. You know, football is meant to play.
Well, Big Ed, honestly, I think some guys will be able to accept it, and I think other guys will struggle with it. I think it depends on the individual, and I think certain teams with a strong coach and a strong locker room with veterans that are good players, I think they'll be able to handle the situation better than other teams, to be quite honest with you. But I'll say this, much like with Manti Te'o last year, and all I heard all offseason, you can't draft Manti Te'o, all the distractions. What happened once the season started? No one gave a damn anymore. And I think that's honestly the same exact type of thing that's going to happen with Michael Sam. Once they start playing games, the rest of that stuff is going to fly out the window. You can only ask his teammate in the locker room how many times, what is it like with Michael Sam on the team? I mean, once that gets asked for 2 weeks in training camp, or heck, 2 weeks in rookie mini camp, it's not even going to be in training camp, the topic's going to be done. You can only ask the same question so many times if you're the media.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, honestly, the whole thing's going to blow over a lot sooner than people think.
Yeah. And to let Shakes know, hey, we were talking about that yesterday. If he was listening in, if he heard yesterday, we were talking about the Chris Johnson.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing about that is, he will come to a team where he knows he can win a championship. That's the whole thing that can't be missed. Somebody didn't say it, but I'm going to say it now. Yes, that's the most important part. He won't have to want to win a championship to come to us. And that's just the bottom line. I mean, the money part, you know, can affect a lot, but hey, putting centers in there, you bust over 1,000 yards, you get the playoffs, you know, stuff like that, hey, it has a chance. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Only in America. Only in America, Big John.
All right, Big Ed, you got anything else for me?
No, man. I just hope I get lucky enough to get picked to go to the combine, shock the world, become a giant.
Big Ed, hope
that's
I.
My dream.
Big Ed, I hope I see you out there, big man. Be good, all right?
All right, y'all. Y'all take care, man.
Hey, be good. I know. I think Maryland's gonna get hit by that storm too. So be safe down there, Big Ed. Everybody else down there and up and down the East Coast as another snowstorm comes rolling on through. 201-939-4513. Andrew is in New Jersey. Is this Andrew in Stanhope?
Yes, this is him.
What's up, Andrew?
How's it going?
It's going all right. Is Andrew Senior with you as well?
No, he is not.
Oh, we get solo Andrew Junior today. What's going on, buddy? What do you got for me?
I got an idea that maybe it wouldn't be, you know, a lot of money. It would fix more than one problem.
All right, Andrew likes to go outside the box. I'm looking forward to this. What do you got?
And it would, I'm thinking Jacoby Jones and Dexter McCluster are both free agents.
Okay.
They wouldn't cost a lot of money. They would fix more than one problem. Also with the kick returning. And also they would fit into that new scheme because they, offensive coordinator, wants to do a more no-huddle scheme.
I
think that would also factor in.
I like the Jacoby Jones idea more than I like the McCluster idea. And I know McCluster could do punts too, and that probably gives you a little bit more of an advantage there. But to me as a receiver, he mimics too much of what you already have in Cruz and to a lesser extent Jernigan, since I'm still not completely sold on Jernigan being an every-down player. I think Jones, though, has the speed to stretch you outside a little bit. I wonder, though, what type of contract he's going to get. A lot of times, a guy like that, people overpay for, but I think Jacoby Jones is the type of player, and I'm going to throw Ted Ginn Jr. into that mix again, I said to Tom Rock earlier, that the Giants could bring in a wide receiver. Not a star, but a guy that can stretch the field, play outside a little bit, and help out on special teams.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. I also heard something like that on Bleacher Report that they could try to get back Mario Manningham, but I don't think that would be a good idea to go.
You know,
because he's been hurt all the time.
They'll talk to him, I'm sure. I mean, could he help as another wide receiver? Sure. But I think the injuries certainly raise a red flag. And a lot of times when these receivers have knee injuries, Andrew, they never come back to the same player they were before those injuries.
Yeah, like Hakeem Nicks a little bit with his foot.
Or Steve Smith, who never really played again, let's be honest.
And one last thing I wanted to get
sure.
to was at the linebacking position, I don't know how big of a chance this is. Maybe you could tell me. They probably will sign John Beeson. I think that's the number one thing they want to do. Put Brian Arakpo aside him.
Well, Arakpo, I think, in the Giants system would be much more of a 4-3 defensive end than a 4-3 outside linebacker. He's more of a pass rusher. He didn't really drop back into coverage much with the Redskins, even though he was technically classified as an outside linebacker. He's a guy that's going to put his hand in the ground and rush the passer.
Yeah, so you wouldn't think they would get him?
No, and I think Arakpo might get the biggest contract of any free agent this offseason, to be quite honest with you. I mean, he's going to get paid. A big-time free agent coming off his rookie contract, as the sack potential that Arakpo has, I think his contract's going to be mammoth.
And you don't see him getting any of the big old linemen, right? Those big star guys they got, like Alex Mack or Asama or even Albert. I don't think they'll get him because they already have Will Beattie, but you don't see him getting any of them?
I could see the Giants targeting one big-time free agent offensive lineman and spending a lot of money on them. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they brought in a guy like Alex Mack. I wouldn't. I think that's certainly a possibility. That's where the Giants are going to focus, I think. Their one big money contract in the offseason, I think, will come on the offensive line.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Andrew. I appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com. John Schmuck with you. Rashawn is down in Georgia, probably much like Keisha, huddling, trying to stay out of that snow. What's up, Rashawn?
What's going on? Yeah, we stuck out here. It's all about ice, not about snow. Not about the inches of snow. But the sheets of ice.
Hey, and you know what? Ice is a lot worse, too, so I feel for you guys.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Hey, I wanted to talk about the draft. Mm-hmm. I think we have 6 picks. I think we need to pretty much draft evenly. 3 defensive, 3 offensive players. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm not sure that type of balance is really what I'm worried about. I want to get good players. And until I know what the Giants do in free agency and what they add on both sides of the ball, it's hard for me to say, Rashawn, you know, how they should split up their draft picks. You know, you might go into the draft saying, yeah, I want three offensive guys, three defensive guys. But what happens when your picks come up? By far, the best player available is on one side of the ball or the other. So I think it's hard this far in the past with the draft, that far in the future, to say I want three offense, three defense. I think you have to see what they do in free agency first.
Okay, okay. That's good. Very, very good answer.
I appreciate it, Rashawn. You got anything else for me?
I got one more.
Sure.
As far as drafting, though, do you think that it will be imperative to draft a wide receiver and a running back for the future?
That's a good question. Do I think it's imperative to draft a wide receiver or a running back for the future? I think you will get, at some point in this draft, a wide receiver. I don't know for sure if you're going to get a running back, because I still think the Giants are holding out hope that David Wilson can be that guy. So I'd say more likely a wide receiver than a running back, but do they have to, under any circumstance, pick a wide receiver? I'd say probably not. Do I think they have to draft a cornerback and an offensive lineman at some point? I think the answer to those questions is yes.
Okay, cool.
Thanks, Rashawn.
All right. I appreciate it, man. Good show.
Hey, appreciate it. Stay safe down there. 201-939-4513. Two more calls before we say goodbye. Let's go to Dominic in Pennsylvania. What's going on, Dominic? Dominic, you there, pal? Dominic going once. Dominic going
Hello?
Twice. Hey, Dominic, what's up, pal?
Hi, I was at background noise, so I had to put it on mute, but I'm doing good. I just wanted to, you know, talk. I mean, I'm hearing callers talking about the wide receiver situation. And my thing is, if I'm McAdoo and Reese, the first order of business that I'm going to take care of as a businessman is the offensive line.
You have to.
The secondary thing would, to me, the answer to the offense, opening up the defense opening up the field and spreading the defensive schemes out, would be the tight ends. So to me, the tight end position is what I would consider to be a transitional position, because the tight end could act as a lineman for, you know, obvious passing coverage. And also, you know, break from the line and do short patterns. So, to me, I think that the focus should be the offensive line and tight end. As far as the wide receiver situation goes, every Giants fan is just, they're accustomed to, you know, it was the Manningham, the Knicks, the Cruz thing, and I think that type of era of play calling, I'm not going to say it's over with, but I think that we need to be just a little bit more innovative in terms of spreading the field out. And I think the answer to that is going to be the tight end situation. So, obviously the money situation should go to those situations. Now, I'm not saying that there's any deficiencies, that there are not any deficiencies, you know, with respect to wide receiver. But I think since Manningham's gone, Hickson's gone, you know, Smith is gone, I just think that we've grown so accustomed to the top of the wide receiver totem pole in terms of how, you know, plays are called and patterns are run. And I just think that we need to get out of that type of thinking.
Well, Dominic, I will agree with you. To me, the Giants have a much larger need at tight end this offseason than they do at wide receiver. And I'd love them to bring in a guy, whether it's the Chandler kid from Buffalo, I think Quarles from Green Bay is a decent option, you know, that can get into the middle of the field, stretch the defense down the seam, be a sure-handed receiver in short yardage situations, and on top of that block, I think, in my mind, is a bigger priority than bringing in another wide receiver to replace Nick, since Randall's already on the roster.
Right, and another little thing that I have to add that I noticed is that Eli Manning does really well with tight ends who are tall. And if you notice a lot of the overthrown passes to Brandon Myers this season, I just think that there's something inside of Eli's mind that clicks, that says, okay, I can overthrow this because it's the tight end. Not necessarily being, you know, highly conscious that that particular tight end is much shorter than the tight end he's been accustomed to. So I think not only do we need a tight end to open the field, but we need a taller tight end. So I'm going to, leave the call. I'd like you guys to just, you know, kind of address that issue in terms of the height of the tight end.
I agree. I think if you bring in a tight end, Dominic, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I think you got to bring in somebody that's, 6'4", 6'5". But I'd rather have a good player than a tall player that's not good either. Give me a guy that can play at his tall. Final call of the show at 201-939-4513 is Kashawn in Maryland. Kashawn, what's up?
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, Kashawn. What's up?
Nothing much. Okay, so I was looking at that free agent list that you recommended me to,
yep.
And I came up with some names, and I wanted to ask you some questions.
Sure,
so
what do you got?
First, I really think Rashad Jennings would be a good fit, as well as, like the last caller said before, Derek McCluster. I think that the Giants should go off both of those and have Derek McCluster contribute on special teams as on the kick return.
Yeah, to me, Rashad Jennings is the perfect guy for this team. He can run between the tackles. Ben McAdoo likes to throw it to his receivers out of the backfield. He's an accomplished receiver. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing in pass protection. I think Jennings would be a great fit for this team next year. So I'm 100% on board with you on that. I'm more of a Ted Ginn Jr. guy than a McCluster guy. Because I think McCluster...
Really? He's so physical.
Well, the thing about McCluster, though, as a receiver, he plays inside in the slot. And you already have Victor Cruz and Drell Jerning in there. So I think there's a bit of a overlap in terms of skill sets if you're bringing a McCluster. But in terms of a special teams player, I think McCluster is a great fit. I want the Giants to bring in a special teams guy this year that could do kicks and punts, not only catch the ball, but also make some big plays. On that, I'm totally on the same page as you.
Okay. So then Jacoby Jones would be another person.
Sure.
For, as far as the kickoff returns.
Yep.
Okay. So now here's my other two questions. Number one, the only tight end, because, I'm not a fan of JerMichael Finley, nor am I of Chandler, but, like, Dustin Keller, but his problem is he can't stay healthy, right?
And he isn't a very good blocker, too, but I think health is the bigger concern. That's correct.
Okay, so lastly, Michael Bennett. Now, if we couldn't keep Justin Tuck, I don't think Seattle can afford to keep Michael Bennett because I think they're trying to keep Earl Thomas and they have some other players. Would Michael Bennett be a person of interest that we can kind of solidify for like 5 or 6 years and like spread him out? Because I know he's going to ask for big money.
Well, I can tell you.
He would be a beast.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants would love to have a player like Michael Bennett on the roster. He's a heck of a football player. You know, he's good against the run. He's good against the pass. He can play tackle and pass rush situations. He can go to the end as well, obviously. That's his primary position. They'd love to have him. Unfortunately, I'm not sure with the Giants' other needs in their budget they'd be able to fit a guy like that in their cap situation. But he is a great player, and he's going to be in high demand.
JPP, you would think that – see, me, I'm nervous about JPP. Like, I don't know if JPP is going to be the JPP that we saw 2 years ago. Like, he's coming off back surgery, and I just don't know.
Well, I agree. I don't know either. I don't know either, but I think you have to give him one more chance to give him a chance to prove whether he is or not.
But see, you don't want to miss on this opportunity, though. And even if JPP does come back, imagine having JPP and Michael Bennett. They will be back to the vintage Giants when we had players like Strahan, Osi, and Tuck. So you can stack that defensive line. So it's a win-win situation, because even if JPP comes back, you still got another playmaker.
Well, here's a question: if you sign Michael Bennett, are you willing to either not bring back Beeson or not sign a top offensive lineman?
Oh, see, I want Beeson too. But see, I don't think Beeson's going to command that much money either. Like, honestly, I don't really understand the salary cap, because to me, like, $30 million, you stretching that over the year, like, if you're saying, I don't know how it works, but I just think that you should be able to get a lot of – I've seen some teams do a lot of damage with $30 million in salary
cap. Oh, no, look, and Kashawn,
they do it right.
There's no question. The Giants are going to be able to do a lot, but unfortunately, they got a ton of holes. I mean, I'm going to listen for you real quick. You got a second cornerback, you got Beeson, you got Tuck on offense. You have three offensive line positions, you got running back, you got tight end, and you have potentially a second wide receiver. So that's 8 or 9 players right there. And to fit all those into $30 million, you're looking at what? an average of $4 million per season for those guys. So that's going to be a tough thing to squeeze in. There's just so many needs. That's the issue here. If they only had five or six positions to fill, we'd have a different conversation. We're talking, you know, eight or nine.
Right, and like I said before, I think that this is going to take 2 or a year. I don't think we're going to fix everything in the first year. That's why I'm saying if you have an opportunity to get a playmaker, well, maybe, okay, well, maybe I can't really address the tight end this year because I know that Michael Bennett is available, and I really, really want this guy. But next year, if the right player, I guess the front office has to decide, like, what can we sacrifice this year in order to get a player that we can, like, you know, take care of for the 5 or 6 years to address a position of need. So that, I guess that's what it boils down to, because, like, you know, you darn sure want to solidify that defensive line to get back to getting to the quarterback. And maybe we can't get it. And then another thing, lastly, we need a big wide receiver because we're very short in the wideout. So I don't think the answer is in free agency. I don't know if the answer is in the draft, but maybe we just have to do a year where we're, like, we're not a really good offense. But then next year, maybe there's somebody coming out that's a wide receiver that, okay, yeah, we're going to go for that guy in the first round. This is a 6'3 guy, physical guy, you know. So they just have to decide which positions can they do without this year to get a really valuable player.
Keshawn, I agree 100%. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, Keshawn, have a good one. And I think, you know, she's right. You have to decide what you're willing to sacrifice this year because you're not going to be able to do everything as much as you would like to. Now, if you want to renegotiate Eli this year and extend him, then, yeah, you could do a little bit more. I know Mike Farmer on Twitter is a big fan of that. I'd wait a year. But if you see a guy out there that you say, look, I got to have him, then that's what you would, I think, force the Giants' hand to renegotiate Eli now, to extend him now. If there's a player you got to have. And maybe a guy like Michael Bennett is that guy. I know the Giants' pro personnel people love him. When we played the Seattle Seahawks this year, I talked to some of our scouts. They were raving about Michael Bennett. And rightfully so, he's a heck of a player. He's a two-way player, too. Plays the run and the pass. He's basically Justin Tuck in his prime. That's what he is. That's what Michael Bennett is. He's that good. He's an excellent, excellent player. But, and Keshawn, here's why I don't think they go after Michael Bennett, though. And this is why I don't think they go after a big-time wide receiver. That's more to, you know, Shakes and Steve. They have Kiwanuka here, who they're probably not going to be able to cut this season because of the financial commitments. You have Jason Pierre-Paul on their contract for another year. I think you go into this year and you hope, whether it's realistic or not, I think it's somewhat realistic that those two guys can bounce back a little bit, reclaim some of the glory days, and you get your pass rush back that way. At wide receiver, you hope Jernigan continues to improve. You hope Reuben Randall in year number three can break out a little bit. Is it going to happen? I don't know, but I think there's a shot at it happening. The same way there's a shot, JPP and Kiwanuka rebound, and you bring back Tuck, and your pass rush is okay. There's a shot. You know what there's no shot of? The offensive line, as you have it constituted now with the players on the roster being a dominant offensive line. That's not going to happen. The tight ends they have on the roster being starting caliber productive tight ends. I mean, is there an outside shot Adrian Robinson's that guy? I wouldn't count on it. Do you have any running backs you have signed? One. And he's got no neck and no back. And you don't know if he's going to be healthy. So I know you have to address that position. Your only cornerbacks under contract are Hosley and Charles James after Prince and Mukamara. Are you counting on those guys? No, you have to address cornerback. So to me, those are the positions you have to address. Corner. Linebacker with bringing back Beeson. That's a must. You don't have anybody to replace him. You have to bring back Beeson. You have to bring in a running back. You have to bring in a tight end, and you have to bring in offensive linemen. That's six. Six or seven things you have to do. And that's why I think on a guy like Bennett, you have to pass. A guy like Arakpo, you have to pass. Because you have guys here that can do it if things break right. At wide receiver, you have to pass because you have a guy like Jernigan and Randall. Things could break right, and you could be okay there. These other spots, you're not going to be okay. You have to do something. You don't have to do it at defensive end. You don't have to do it at wide receiver. Everybody, great job on the phones. We thank Tom Rock of Newsday for all his great insight. Excellent job out of him. I'll try to bring on a different Giants beat guy every week moving forward here as news breaks. And hopefully we'll start getting some Giants news, maybe re-signing some of their own players in the coming weeks. And then free agents can start negotiating on March 8th and start signing on March 11th. We look forward to that. Thank you to Dan Salmon for screening calls as usual. Tom Rack, thank you. Great job on internet, on the phones, by the fans. We'll see about tomorrow, folks. Now, I'm going to warn you, there's a chance we're not going to have a show. We're going to get nailed again by another snowstorm. And based on past experiences, I'm thinking they're going to close down the office. In which case, Schmelk's not showing up. So, keep your eye on Twitter. If I wake up early enough, if they do close, I will put it out there and let you guys know as much ahead of time as I can if there'll be a show or not. Everybody, thank you for joining us. We'll see if we see you tomorrow morning. Hopefully we do on Giants.com. Everybody have a good one.